I'd be here today.
See how we help warriors combat stigma at woundedwarriorproject.org/combatstigma.
Dad, I picked up your pills, made your lunch, and your laundry is done.
When you care for a loved one, you take care of everything. But are you taking care of yourself? Find free care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Live and Local with Kevin Wall on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
I know this time earlier this week, we were all excited about the Stanley Cup playoffs and the big series between the Golden Knights and the Winnipeg Jets. And then they played the game, game one, and things did not go well. They did not go well at all for the Golden Knights. Gentlemen, Jim, I know you've been anxiously waiting for game two. This is kind of a must-win game, isn't it?
Yeah, you want to get that bitter taste out of your mouth, falling 5-1 on Tuesday. In fact, that was, if it wasn't their worst playoff performance in franchise history, it had to be the next worst. I remember they were trounced by Colorado back in 2021, 7-1. But besides that, I mean, look at it this way. I try to accentuate the positive here because when the Golden Knights trail in a series like they do now, down one game to none, they're 3-2 in their history. So they do have that ability to bounce back. And I agree with you, though. If you go down 0-2 and then you have to go on the road, I mean, you have to win four games and your opponent only has to win two, and a half of those games are going to be in their home arena. So, yeah, if they lose tonight's game, I think the optimism is going to fall to, maybe a 33% chance of winning as opposed to maybe right now it's 60-40 they can win this series.
It'll be interesting to see. And again, you win one game, you're going to have to win one game in Winnipeg. No matter how this thing plays out, whether they win tonight or lose tonight, they've got to win at least one game in Winnipeg because then it gives them the home ice advantage again. But it'll be interesting to see what happens if the lineup's going to be the same, if the lineup's going to change. Are we changing goaltenders? Who knows? We'll try and figure that out.
But what I like about the NHL, though, Kevin, is they do the 2-2-1-1-1. If it does go to seven games, where you're going back and forth, as opposed to baseball, where they do it a little differently.
Yeah, this is. I can't wait to see what happens tonight and what kind of effort they put into this. I just felt like they were either going through the motions or there was something that wasn't right, and I thought it was awful. I thought. It was not. You're probably right. It may have been the worst playoff game, next to that 7-1 drubbing. But it was not fun. And with all the anticipation, everybody that was down there was just geeked up. I mean, big time. Almost like we're going to do a coronation in this series. The fact is, they didn't play well, and now they're down 0-1 with a chance to even things up tonight. But they still will have to go back to Winnipeg and win at least one game. So
they need their big guys to step up. Mark Stone, of course, that was his first game back the other night. So hopefully he's got his skates up and running because they certainly need him. Marchessault, Eichel, all of those guys, they need to step up tonight.
Coming up, Marcos Lopez tells us what's going on. Week 11, hard to believe it, week 11 of the Nevada legislature. They meet every other year for 120 days. And we have just surpassed the halfway point in the legislative session. What is next? The bills that maybe are hanging fire that may not survive the next deadline. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more coming up on AM 670 KMZQ, where news is next.
Hey friends, it's Patrick Casale, the Multicare Group. With the difficulty in finding quality employees to ensure your business thrives, I have a solution for you. Offer employee benefits. Benefits are 100% tax deductible to the employer, income tax free to the employee's dependents, can be used nationally, and are far more robust than any other individual plan being offered. The Multicare Group can help you obtain affordable quality health benefits. We have access to association health plans that offer multiple options, attractive rates for you and your employees, with national access and the finest hospitals and physicians in United States. Call the Multicare Group today for your no-obligation quote, 702-396-9449. We have access to all the carriers that offer health insurance, dental coverage, vision care, group life and disability insurance. Allow our relationships to guarantee you the most competitive rates. The Multicare Group can provide you with all these services, plus we can offer payroll services at the most competitive rates, along with the best workers' compensation programs available in the country. Call Patrick Casale of the Multicare Group today, 702-396-9449.
Live from the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa Studios. From the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, AM 670 KMCQ, Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. Severe weather's in the forecast today from Texas to Wisconsin, while communities in central Oklahoma start to assess the damage from tornadoes that killed at least two people. Correspondent Jackie Quinn reports.
The hardest hit area where death occurred was the small town of Cole, where homes and buildings were smashed by the storm's devastating winds. Deputy Scott Gibbons on KOCO-TV says searching for survivors is hampered by storm debris.
Based on the damage reports that we received thus far, it is possible that more injuries and fatalities may come.
In Shawnee, the winds damaged an assisted living facility where residents had to wait outside for buses to bring them to other shelter.
The windows are blown out and there's water in the building.
Facility director Shelley Stewart. I'm Jackie Quinn.
There are media reports that the investigation into presidential son Hunter Biden is being mishandled. Here's White House correspondent Greg Clugston.
The Wall Street Journal was the first to report the concerns of an IRS supervisor who is seeking whistleblower protection. Other news organizations also are reporting on a letter sent to Congress that says the IRS official has details that show preferential treatment and politics improperly infecting decisions. The letter does not name Hunter Biden specifically, but lawmakers have been made aware he is the high-profile, controversial subject that the letter is referring to. Greg Clugston, Washington.
SpaceX's giant new rocket exploded minutes after blasting off on its first test flight and crashed into the Gulf of Mexico. Elon Musk's company was aiming Thursday to send Starship on a round-the-world trip from the southern tip of Texas near the Mexican border. The biggest and most powerful rocket ever built carried no people or satellites. On Wall Street, the Dow down by 110 points, the Nasdaq dropped 97. More at townhall.com.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Oh, I cracked the hull of my new ski boat today.
Oh, my gosh, why'd you do that?
It's not like I was trying to do it, you know.
Sorry, that's rough. My bad, bro. Did anyone witness this epic fail?
Yes, there's videos galore, and now I'm a meme.
Accidents don't just happen in sea shanties, so Progressive Boat Insurance has you covered. Take as little as 4 minutes to see what you can save at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Covered subject to policy terms and not available for all boats.
Wayne Allyn Root here from Mastroianni's, the best Italian restaurant in Vegas. I have lunch or dinner at Mastroianni's at least twice a week. I bring all my New York buddies here. It's the best Italian food I've ever eaten in my life. Better than my favorite Italian restaurants in New York. Mastroianni's has been family-owned and operated by my buddy, Pete Mastroianni, and his sons for over 25 years. And the food, oh my gosh, bellissimo! Mastroianni's features live-action cooking, the freshest, finest quality seafood selections, salmon, sea bass, halibut, scallops, clams, steaks to die for, store, homemade desserts. They offer curbside pickup and delivery, a huge wine and cocktail menu, and catering. They've won awards from Zagat's and the prestigious five-star Diamond Award. They feed the who's who of Las Vegas, including celebrities from movies, TV, and sports. It's where the elite meet to eat. Mastriani's is at 3330 South Wallop Byway. Call for reservations, 702-367-7511. 367-7511. Mastriani's is bellissimo.
It's 204. This is your KMCQ News Flash. I'm Jim Dallas. A very wet winter for the western U.S. means drought conditions have eased up throughout most of the Silver State. The U.S. Drought Monitor reports just 23% of Nevada is experiencing drought conditions as of April 11th. The latest report says the area around Las Vegas is the only remaining spot of a severe drought. Zappos founder Tony Hsieh's life is about to hit the silver screen. Reports are a movie is already in development based on the book, and it's about to be published. The book, Wonder Boy, Tony Hsieh, Zappos and the Myth of Happiness in Silicon Valley. That book is due on April 25th. The 46-year-old Hsieh died in a mysterious house fire in 2020. He was 46 years of age. The Oakland A's have entered into a binding purchase agreement for land just west of the Las Vegas Strip where a Major League ballpark can be built. The deal involves 49 acres at Dean Martin Drive in Tropicana, which is owned by Red Rock Resorts, the parent company of Station Casinos. With the site now chosen, team officials say they will begin work on a public-private partnership with state and local officials to build that $1.5 billion retractable roof stadium, which would seat at least 30,000 people.
KMCQ on-time traffic. It's powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Stop in now for a premium synthetic blend oil change for only $24.95. Meineke, doing car care right.
Volumes are heavy through the resort area of the 15 right now, especially northbound 15 at Hacienda. Do expect some reduced speeds there on Interstate 515 north past Boulder Highway. And watch for accidents Valley View at Oakey and Durango at Blue Diamond.
Mr. President, it's time to get to work. Surely we both agree that the national debt is too high. Surely we both agree that inflation hurts American families. Surely we can trim waste and streamline programs to make them both stronger and more efficient. Congressional Republicans are ready to act to save our country and to make America stronger.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
And this hour of Live and Local brought to you in part by our good friends at Americans for Prosperity. Joining us now, very happy to have him on, Marcos Lopez, Outreach and Coalitions Director for Nevada Policy Research Institute. We're into week 11 of the Nevada legislature, and Marcos joins us. We have passed the halfway point, and we are getting to the point where it's crunch time for some bills that'll make it, some bills that'll die. What about it?
Well, it's fast and furious time here at the legislature now. In fact, it almost feels like Groundhog's Day. There's another deadline week. This time it's first House passage. So this week there have been barely any committee hearings. Everything has been focused on passing as many bills as possible. And as of this morning, there were still 300 bills in each chamber that are not exempt, that have not received a vote. So that means that today and tomorrow, particularly tomorrow, it's going to be long days at the legislature, voting late into the night, trying to get as many bills passed before it strikes midnight. And as we're picking through the wreckage, we're not surprised by what we're seeing. There's a lot of Republican bills that are dead, a lot of good bills, and mostly Democratic bills are moving forward.
Let me ask you, everybody asked me about the governor's education bill, that's AB 400. Where is it in this process, and is it one of these bills that is exempt?
Yes, so the governor's education bill is one of those exempt. His election reform bill is also exempt. But this one is the first one that's been scheduled for a hearing. It will be next Wednesday, April 26th at 6 p.m. in front of the Assembly Ways and Means. Again, that's next Wednesday at 6 p.m. That's Assembly Bill 400. Everyone should come out and support this if you support school choice. There are some very good elements in there that expands opportunity scholarships far beyond what was originally requested in his State of the Union address, as well as introducing open enrollment for public schools. So you're not destined to just go to the public school in your area. If there's a better public school that you hear about that you want to send your child to and they have open space, you're able to move your child there with the proper paperwork. So there's a lot of good things within this piece of legislation that we're hoping that we can see the day of light. And again, that is coming up next week. This is going to be a huge moment for the governor's office. This is really his all of the above approach. There's elements in there for all the different education factions. But really, if you are supportive of school choice and want to drive some real change within our school system, that is the hearing to be at next Wednesday at 6 p.m.
Tell me some of the bills, because I know there were some really good Republican bills that ended up dying last Friday. Can you talk about some of those bills that did not survive?
Yeah, so almost 240 bills failed to pass the first committee deadline. Almost 50% of those were all Republican bills, which is disproportionate for how many Republicans are in there. If you were a Democrat last week, you're very happy you got almost 80% of your bills forward. But we saw every single bill on emergency powers reform die. We saw every single bill on election reform that's not the governor's die. So that includes voter ID, changing the post date mark. We saw a universal occupational licensing reform bill that was brought forward by Senator Jeff Stone die. And it's kind of disheartening. It must be a rough position to be in the minority right now, particularly one senator who was able to get none of her bills passed and got zero hearings was State Senator Carrie Buck. And of course, she has a major election coming up this year. So the Democrats don't want to give her any wins. So there's no surprise that she was unable to get anything through. And we're continuing to see this that, you know, Alexis Hansen, Daniel Gallant, Richard MacArthur, all three Republican assemblymen just had one bill pass out of committee. So they're definitely leveraging their majorities to try to put forward as much legislation that they want to push forward to put the governor in an awkward position, or try to say, hey, you know, the governor vetoed this at the end of the session. If you want to just move forward, you have to vote Democrat. So this is definitely a rough position to be in for the Republican caucuses.
Has the governor expressed any willingness at all to get his hands dirty in this matter, to be able to say, you know, these bills are dead, but I want this, I want this, I want this one, I want them resurrected? Is there a way to do that, and has he expressed an interest in doing that?
So, yes, there is. There are many ways. In the legislature, until the last day, nothing is really truly dead. But a lot of these bills, for example, like the election reform the other separate standalone occupational licensing reform bills, a lot of that is in some of the governor's bills that he has introduced in his giant omnibus bills. For example, his education bill is almost 100 pages long, one of the longest bills this session. And it does have a lot of good stuff in there, again, versus the school choice movement. So there is still opportunity. This past week, on a separate issue, which was kind of expanding the board for North Las Vegas for the city council, you know, he already expressed his willingness to veto that bill if it got to his desk. Overall, they're playing their cards close to their chest. But I know those conversations are happening. And there have been conversations with partners within our school choice coalition that we're a part of, with Power to Parent, Americans for Prosperity, and the Americans Federation for Children. And he's there for school choice. And he's willing to veto what he needs to make sure we get some of these items passed.
I want to ask you about some of the bills that have passed, have essentially crossed over to the other house, beginning with AB 172. What do you know about it?
Yeah, so not too many bills have moved over yet, and they're really leaving it to the last 48 hours, last 36 hours to get things done before the deadline tomorrow. But some of the ones that we've been following, this union public employee sharing information, this should be very concerning. So this is more of the aftermath of the Janus decision that we had a couple of years back, said that, you know, if you can't be forced to be a part of a union, a public sector union, as a condition of employment. So that's why we've been seeing a lot of pushback on this. So AB 172, what it's trying to do is if you're part a public employee of any bargaining unit that is representative by a public sector union, your information will be shared with the union twice per year. Now, we're very concerned about this because what does this mean? This means that unless you opt out, you're potentially liable to be harassed by the unions to join their membership at least twice a year. For many people who don't want to, you know, surrender their First Amendment rights essentially to the union, this could be extremely concerning.
Let me ask you about the SB 181, the GOED tax abatement bill. Is it still alive? And if so, what should we think of it? Is it a good bill or a bad bill?
Yeah, so SB 181 is an attempt to raise the amount that GOED, the Governor's Office of Economic Development, can give out in tax abatements. Now, this is something that's kind of going on in the backdrop of what we're hearing is going on with Story County as well, and that bill actually did tie on the Story County front. But GOED is asking, because of inflation, we want to be able to give out more grants without legislative oversight and approval. This did move forward in a fairly bipartisan way, but we're very concerned about this, and we've always been outspoken about GOED, which we feel might be an unconstitutional office in the governor's office due to the constitutional restraints on public money going to private endeavors. But we're keeping an eye on this. This is probably something that is going to pass both chambers, but it's definitely something for those of us that actually support some free market and competition and oppose the government picking winners and losers should be always speaking up against.
Again, Marcos Lopez joining us, the Outreach and Coalitions Director for Nevada Policy Research Institute. What is your sense just watching the body language of the members? Are people starting to get angry? Are tempers short? Are the fangs coming out, so to speak?
It definitely is. There's a lot of impassioned floor speeches going on because once a bill passes a committee, you know, they assign one member of the committee to make the floor public statement argument for that piece of legislation. Sometimes it's not necessarily or always the sponsor. So what we're seeing a lot is a lot of back and forth. There was some very long discussions that were going on in floor speeches for the abortion amendment that was proposed forward for the Constitution. That does look like it's going to continue to move on forward. But this is just the time of the year where it's Fast and the Furious. Everything is coming down. Everybody's realizing you basically have a month and a half less to try to get anything done. And while most Republicans, unfortunately, have seen their bills die, there are some good bills that are still moving forward that are exempt that we're going to keep track of. But as we look forward to these next 2 weeks, it's going to be how many of the governor's bills get a hearing. And usually that deference is given. So we're keeping a close eye on that. As soon as we find out, you know, as more bills get given hearings, definitely keep your audience informed in the general community because it's super important. There's a lot of good bills in there that the governor has introduced, from election reform to this education bill next week, that we want to make sure the community comes out and support because that's what he campaigned on. And that's what he won on.
NPRI has been very, very active, and I'm curious, are there bills that you folks are openly supporting and really lobbying for?
Yeah, so there's quite a few of them. A lot of them, are in the education sphere. In fact, we were just looking at some of the numbers recently as I updated our bill tracker online, and we have taken a position so far on about 120 pieces of legislation. Most of that has been on the oppose, unfortunately, just because of the makeup of the legislature and the bad ideas that are coming forward. But there are some very good bills that we're keeping a track on. Again, a lot of them are in the governor's alley that he put forward just because they've become such large omnibus bills that carry so much good in them. But there's also a few others we're looking for in the realm of taxation, mainly opposing those bills. But we want to make sure where those go, and hopefully those are dead on arrival with the governor's promise not to raise any taxes.
If folks want to continue to track bills, your bill tracker service is second to none. Can you talk a little bit about how voters can actually track bills that they care about your bill tracker service?
Yeah, there's two ways to do it. You can just go to nevadapolicy.org, and on there you can click a link right through our bill tracker. You go to nevadapolicy.org/bill tracker. So we have just updated that today. We've included all the different bills that are dead as well, which bills are exempt. And we've included on there our kind of thoughts and opinions. We're pretty much up to date on all the bills that have been put in there. And it's been really a main project for us this legislative session. It's not just for the public, which I do appreciate how many people reach out constantly about it, but it's also the calls we get from legislators. People are looking at this. They're asking questions of, you know, why are we taking this position, what we can do to make the bill better. So it is very important that we try to put this information out and be as transparent as possible. This is your government. These are your representatives, and they have to respond to you. And part of that is making sure that you guys are raising your voices and communicating with them. So we'd make it easy to email the committee chairs and the sponsors all at one place at nevadapolicy.org/bill-tracker.
Okay, in our final minute, just one more time, what is important about tomorrow? What time tomorrow do bills have to be out? Exactly what's going on?
Yeah, so this is our first House passage deadline. So this is usually a time where there isn't too many bills that die, unfortunately, depending on how you view it. But they have to make sure they get a vote in by midnight. If they do not, the bill is declared dead. If we look at previous sessions, maybe a dozen or so bills die during this time. It's really in the next one where it's that second passage deadline where a lot more bills die. But between today, the rest of today, and then tomorrow at midnight, these people are going to be in there voting on all sorts of pieces of legislation. And this is going to have a major effect. So it's definitely something to keep a track on if people are interested. Again, go to our website, nevadapolicy.org, to see what we're keeping track of and kind of see where that bill that might interest you is in the process.
Marcos, always good to get with you. It's going to get very, very interesting in the weeks to come. Thanks so much, man. I appreciate it. We'll talk again next week.
Perfect. Talk to you next week. Thank you.
Marcos Lopez, Outreach and Coalitions Director for NPRIS, Nevada Policy Research Institute. Stay where you are. More to do as we continue on AM 670 KMZQ.
The revolution is being broadcast. Wayne Allen Root, this afternoon, 3 to 6 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Tired of the same old partisan politics? The type that gives Nevada lax voting regulations, reduced educational choice, and bloated, inefficient state government? Feel like you're swimming upstream against a tsunami of special interests and legislators intent on serving the needs of government rather than those of ordinary Nevada residents and businesses? There is hope. I'm John Sarpalis, president of the Nevada Policy Research Institute. And we are working to hold our elected leaders responsible. This isn't a partisan issue. Republicans and Democrats have let down the very people they claim to represent in Carson City. For the good of our children, our parents, and ourselves, let's come together and work to put policy ahead of politics. Go to NevadaPolicy.org and learn what we're doing to stand up for your freedoms. This Nevada Policy Update has been brought to you in partnership with the Nevada Trucking Association.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. A few years ago, a friend invited me for an evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Now, Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes. Boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's had been there for over three decades and family-owned for over 20 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. And I love their food. Ichabod's features incredible menu items, including seafood, steaks, burgers, pastas, and five daily specials. And their kitchen is open 24 hours a day for you late-night foodies. What do I like best about Ichabod's? Their old-school Vegas atmosphere. Their bartenders and servers are super friendly. When everyone else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super serve its customers. And you'll love their nightly entertainment at the piano bar. You want to win? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge, and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
Hi, this is Republican Assemblywoman Melissa Hardy from Assembly District 22. I'm proud to represent areas of Henderson, including Cadence, Sun City McDonald Ranch, and portions of East Henderson. Catch me on the Kevin Wall Show on AM 670, where Kevin and I will be talking all things related to the 2023 legislative session. Tune in to hear the latest on what's happening in the building and to get updates about legislation that may impact you and your family. To learn more about me, go to Hardy, the number 4, Nevada.com.
Listen up. Your share at winning over $500,000 in free fuel and products is just a tap away with the Terrible Social House app.
Yes!
With a qualifying purchase at the pump or in-store, you can shop, spin, and win directly on your phone. Win free products that you can redeem instantly in-store, or if you're feeling lucky, you could land on free fuel towards your next fill-up. Shop, spin, and win. Download and play today. Terrible's, deliberately different since